found in the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel. We find in the beginning of this chapter that Darius, who had taken the city of Babylon in with Cyrus, he established a certain ruling by putting 120 princes over the provinces that he now governed. And over these 120 princesses, he placed three presidents, of whom Daniel was chief, so that these princes would collect the revenue and turn the revenue over to the presidents, and that the king would have no damage in this way and would not be troubled with running all the provinces himself. We find then that this man Daniel, he was preferred above all the other princesses and presidents that Darius had set up over this kingdom. This is a wonder. For this Daniel, he was a captive, he was a Jew, and there were probably many others that were on the right side of Darius seeking to be a president or one of the princes over the provinces. And we must likewise give Darius credit that he didn't choose according to favorism or according to politics, but he chose Daniel because he was a man that had an excellent spirit in him, and he was gifted with wisdom and understanding. This Daniel must have been in the neighborhood of around 90 years of age already. Another wonder that God gave this man, yet even at this age, such wisdom and such understanding that he was yet enabled at this time of his life to fulfill the office of a president. Many people, when they receive this age, they are so weak and so feeble and so run down. It's just a matter of time for them when God will take them away. But Daniel was gifted even in this age to hold a prominent position over all the other princesses and presidents. This Darius, he must have heard of Daniel, that he was a man that had the spirit of the living God in him. And he must have heard of how that he likewise had been with Nebuchadnezzar and with Belshazzar, and that he was accustomed to being in the palace of the king and ruling in this respect. This Darius then, he intended to place Daniel over the whole realm. He liked this man Daniel. He seen that he was honest, that he was sincere, and that in all what he did, he proved that he did it to the honor and to the glory of God and for the benefit of the kingdom. This man Daniel then, he was preferred above these other men. This led to jealousy on the part of these other presidents and other princesses. These men, they sought to find something wrong with Daniel. They sought an occasion against him. As you all know, even in this country, when men run for a public office, you may take particular notice that most of the time they spend more money to get in the office than what the office actually pays, because there is so much graft to be had on the side of this position that they have. And like it is even in our country, so it was even in those days. These princes and presidents, they probably likewise reaped a certain profit of the revenues that they collected for Darius the king. And now they thought, if we can only find something wrong with this man Daniel, if we only can find that he's at fault in this way or in that way, then we have a complaint to bring to the king, and then this man Daniel will be removed from this office. Now they watched him very narrowly, to see whether they could find any fault with him. But it is stated in the word of God that they could not find any fault or any error in this man Daniel, because he had the fear of God in him. And the fear of God giveth unto us to depart from evil. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all true wisdom. And this godly fear rested in the bosom of Daniel. And he was sincere, he was honest, he was a person that could be relied upon in the office that he was in. And therefore the king favored him for this. But these creatures, they were enemies of Daniel, and they desired to have him removed from this high office that the king meant to place him in. What a mercy, my hearers, if we may have the same spirit that Daniel had. Thinking of this, I thought, could it be said of any one of us, if they, like these enemies of Daniel, began to search our life, began to examine the way that we handle things and do things, could it be said of you and I that we are without fault or without error? I'm afraid many of you say, oh, I've been so unfaithful against so many other of my fellow creatures, even at my work, and so unfaithful to that God in heaven above who has been so faithful to me. And oh, I commit so many errors. Oh, I am afraid that if they began to examine my life and my past life, that I would never be able to come up to what these enemies had to say of Daniel. Remember that, they were not friends of his, but they were enemies. And they had to say that they could find no fault or no error in anything that he did, because he was faithful in the office that he was in. The only thing they said that we can find anything against him would be against the law of his God. And true, my hearers, if you and I are put to the touchstone of the law of God, why then we are nothing else but faulty creatures filled with error and unfaithful in every way and in every respect. And now these persons, they cooked up a plan to get rid of this man Daniel. They got together, these presidents and these princes, and they knew that this man Daniel was a very devout man, a very religious man, and that he worshiped his God faithfully. And they knew that every day he went to pray three times. For these Orientals, they're not like you and I. If we go to pray, we try to go somewhere where nobody will see us. But the Orientals aren't that way. I've been told that these Orientals, when it's time to pray, if they're walking along the street, they'll just fall down on the side and begin to pray. They don't care who sees them. And Daniel, he had a certain place in his house where he went three times to pray. And he had windows in this room that faced Jerusalem. As you know, when Solomon dedicated the temple, then he offered up a prayer, and in that prayer he had said that if any are led captive into distant countries, and when they kneel down to pray and face this city and this house which I have built, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. Now it was customary for the Jewish people, wherever they were, whenever they prayed, that they would face towards Jerusalem. Daniel, he had open windows which faced the city of Jerusalem far away. And every day he went up into this place to pray. And these enemies, they knew this. They had watched him. And now they decided that they would go before the king and present unto the king this petition, so that this man Daniel would, by this petition, commit a capital crime when he prayed. And they went to the king and they said, "O king, live forever. All the presidents and all the princes have congregated together and have decided that there should be a royal statue and a royal decree that no man and no person should ask anything of any god or of any man except of thee for 30 days. Now make this a decree and sign it with thy signature." This decree, my hearers, was to the honor and to the glory of this king. Nobody was allowed to ask anything of anyone but him. He was to be then God for 30 days, and if the people wanted anything, they were to come to him and ask him, but they were not allowed to petition any man or any god outside of him. And now this man, Darius, he signed this decree. What a devilish decree it is, I would say. Why, children weren't even allowed to ask their own parents for some bread. They weren't allowed to petition him for it. That's the way the decree was. And they were not allowed to pray to their idol gods either, these peoples, because they had gods that they worshiped. They were only then allowed to petition this king. Now this was done with the purpose of catching Daniel in his religion, to make him faulty therein. And now, my hearers, this man Daniel, he surely hadn't consented to these presidents with this decree. You can make up your mind on that he wasn't with them. They said all the presidents and all the princes had agreed to this, but don't think that Daniel ever agreed to it. But he knew about it. And when he heard that the king had signed this decree, he still went up to the place where he was accustomed to worship God 3 times a day. He went up there to offer up supplication and thanksgiving unto his God. Now you and I would say, what a foolish thing to do. Here the king had made a decree that if any man petitioned anybody else, whether it was God or man, they would be cast into the den of lions. And now Daniel, he knew this decree, he knew the king had signed it, and still he went up to this place where everybody could see him pray, and he prayed openly and publicly so that everybody could see it. You and I would say, well, why didn't he go conceal himself? Why didn't he hide himself? He could have went somewhere where they wouldn't see him. He could have prayed inside even. They wouldn't have known it. But no, he was accustomed to doing this. And now if he did not do this, he would then deny his God, deny his religion. We find him then worshiping God 3 times a day. And then suddenly we find these enemies of his coming in while he's in the act of worship. And they find him on his knees, praying and supplicating and offering thanksgiving unto his God. My hearers, have you such a place to go to in your homes? Have you such a custom that you pray to God? There may be some that don't pray at all. What, you say? People that go to church? People that attend worship? Yes. I don't know you. But I think if they followed after your life, like these enemies did after Daniel, they might find that you didn't pray at all. I hope that it may not be said of anyone that's listening to me, but I am almost certain that there are some that have no habit at all of praying. Let's forget all about it. Now, there may be some that are listening to me that have this habit. Conscience reproves them, and they are found praying at certain times during the day, probably before their meal, after their meal, probably before they go to bed at night. They've been taught this from infancy. Conscience wouldn't allow you to not do it. Is that your custom? Have you that custom? It's a good custom. Continue therein. And may you in your entreaties beg God to give you the spirit to pray. We never know when we may be upon our knees that God might come in and give us, even if it were one sentence of true prayer. That he gives, it most certainly will be heard. It will be answered in due time. Oh, I would exhort every one of you, my hearers, to set aside some time of the day to go alone and pray to God. Daniel had this custom. He was a God-fearing man. He lived a very conscientious life. He lived a very close life to God. And when we live a close life to God, my hearers, we live mostly a life of prayer. I think there are some that are listening to me that says that's the truth. I remember the time when God came into my heart with his spirit, when he convicted me of sin, and I was led to pray. I was led to seek his face. And oh, I had such wonderful times in prayer. To tell him everything truthfully of what I was and how I had lived. Oh, I must say at that time, I was nothing but prayer. You remember a time like that, some of you people listening to me? You were all prayer. And then maybe you read this about Daniel. I did one time. I read about Daniel. 3 times a day he went to pray to his God. I thought, gee, I beat Daniel even. I don't know how many times a day I went to this God. You remember that time? Now let me ask you a question. Did you continue in that? I am sure you say, oh, no, I can't say that I've continued in that. I've come to the point where I do pray just because my conscience tells me to do so. But that need, that love, that desire that I had in the beginning to seek God's face, it seems to be all gone. That spirit of prayer seems to have died out in me. And I don't seem to have any true prayer anymore at all. Is that your case? Must you say that's the truth? That's the way it went with me? Why has it gone that way with you? You know why? So that you'll need that ever-living intercessor at the right hand of God. That you'll need him whose merits and whose sacrifice is acceptable before God. Oh, may you be given to see and to feel your need more and more of Jesus, that he may pray in you and intercede in you and prevail, that you may receive what you are seeking after. And now Daniel, when he had heard that the king had signed this decree, he still went 3 times a day. 80-some years old, I said he was, probably almost 90. He still was a man that lived so close to God. Ah, there may be some amongst my hearers that say, oh, I wish that God would give me that same spirit that Daniel had, that I would live so close to God, that I would need him like Daniel needed him. Truly, my hearers, that Daniel knew now that if he went to pray, and they found him praying, they most certainly would take him prisoner, and it would mean his life. But he still went up to pray. They then touched Daniel in his religion. They were going to see whether he was going to continue to worship his God and serve him or not. Now you may be placed in a position like this in life someday. You may be religious. You have made a profession of religion. And it may come up in your life sometime that you will be called upon to do things that are contrary to your religion, contrary to the law of God, contrary to the dictates of your own conscience. And that if you do that, then you know you are denying that God and that profession of religion that you have made. God puts some of his dear children in spots like that to prove that they are his, that he takes care of them. This is what happened to Daniel. Has it ever happened to you? There may be some listening to me that say, oh yes, I remember I was put on the spot one time and I had to choose either for this God, for my religion, or give way to the temptation, for it might have cost me my work, might have cost me my job, but I gave way. And because now you did that, what do you think about yourself? How you think maybe God will have anything to do with you anymore? You think, how could God ever have anything to do with a creature like me who denied him, who didn't listen to the dictates of my conscience but went over the top of it? My hearers, we have such a wonderful God to do with. For this God, whom I bring before you, he's willing to forgive all manner of sins and transgressions. He said to Israel of old, it touched me one day when I was reading that, ye have played the harlot with many lovers, but return ye unto me, for I am merciful. Oh, what a God we have. He don't turn his people away. He don't despise them. He knows their weaknesses, their frailty, their infirmities. He knows when they slip and when they fall, but he don't cast them down for that. He don't cast them away for that. No, they are raised up again. They are given the return back to him to find that he is a faithful God. And now these people, they came and they found Daniel upon his knees praying. Anybody ever find you on your knees praying? Anyone who's ever alone praying somewheres in your home, and all of a sudden some member of your family opens the door unexpectedly. You had forgot to lock it or close it, and they found you praying on your knees. I wish that every one of you were found this way, my hearers. But when you were found there, you didn't want anybody in the family to know that you were doing that. You were trying to conceal this. What a mercy, my hearers. When someone does find you then, and it is revealed that there's something going on in your soul that leads you to seek God. Oh, you know, I was thinking about this subject. I was thinking about praying. You have experienced it, and I do. Whenever we sit down at the meal to pray, 10 chances to 1, if you're a father of a family and you have children, the devil, he'll stir up one of those children and try to make an argument between the children or even between the parents so that you'll be in no fit frame to pray. Oh, I found that so often the case. Another thing happens. You may just begin to pray. What happens? The phone rings. Gone is your prayer. Am I right or wrong? And then, my hearers, you may even go alone. You may even lock the door and don't want anybody to disturb you. But you know the devil follows you in that place too. He's all over, Stu. He'll come when you're on your knees. He'll infuse such wicked and evil and sinful thoughts in your mind. Oh, such atheistical thoughts. Gone is your prayer. There's a massive confusion. It's nothing but sin and iniquity. Oh, I don't know if you people have this trouble with praying. You know there are some people. They're only too glad when prayer is over. Because they themselves are prayerless. The less that a person prays, the better they like it. How do I know that? Well, I was the same way one day myself. What a mercy, my hearers. When God by His Spirit gives us to draw nigh to Him, and He rids us of everything here below and gives us to be honest, to be truth, to be sincere before Him. So this Daniel, he found this at various times, and therefore it was his custom to do this. And now when they found him in this way, they immediately went to the king. And they said to the king, O king, hast thou not made a decree? And is it not according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, that if any man petition any god or any man outside of thee, they shall be cast into the den of lions? Yes, the king says, that's true, and that's according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Well, they said, this Daniel, man of the captivity, he presents his petition 3 times a day. He don't care about you, O king, or about your decree. That's the way they put it to the king. They wanted to see what the king would say. They knew the king liked this man. They knew the king favored him. But they didn't. They hated him. And they put it in this way so that the king would become angry with Daniel because he disregarded the decree and disregarded the king. And now when they had said this unto the king, we read that the king, he became very displeased with himself. His eyes went open. He saw what he had done. Oh, he should have never signed that decree. He'd seen that these men were just aiming at Daniel. That's all they were aiming at. They were getting him. And he's seen it now. But yeah, it was too late. He had signed this decree. And he was very displeased with himself. And he labored all day until the night to try to deliver Daniel. But these men, these enemies of Daniel, they came to the king and they told him that there was no altering of the law. He had signed his decree and they were not allowed to change it. My hearers. Now these people coming to this king and complaining and bringing in evidence that Daniel had committed a crime in praying to his God. And the king became very displeased with himself. Have you ever been displeased with yourself? Huh? I'm sure every one of you have been at times. Haven't you done something once? Maybe twice, maybe more than twice in your life. Oh, that you wish you never had done. That you were so sorry that you had done it. And you were so displeased with yourself. Where did it bring you? Have you done it against one of your fellow creatures? Did it bring you back to that creature? Did you confess to that creature and say, oh, I should have never done that. I should have never said the things that I did about you. I'm so sorry that I did. Won't you forgive me? How many in my audience do that? Pride won't allow you to do it. Pride makes you forget all about it. How few, when they have done something that even they are displeased with, will own up to it. and my hearers, for this being displeased with yourself. You know that's a characteristic of God's people. Every one of them is so displeased with himself. You ever been displeased with yourself? Because why? Because maybe you've made vows, maybe you've made resolutions. Oh, God done something for you one day. It was so noticeable in your life. God spared you, or he spared your wife, or he brought some of your children back from death's door. And all that, God, he was so good to you, and you made resolutions. Oh, you were going to live for this God. You were going to pray to this God. You were going to serve this God. He was worth it. At that present time, he was. And what happened to all your resolutions? What happened to your promises? Oh, something come along and you forgot all about it. Pretty soon, sin got the upper hand. You thought you were making headway against sin, but no, sin made headway against you. And pretty soon, the world got the best of you again. You found yourself living the same life that you had lived before. And then you became so displeased with yourself. Oh, you said to yourself, what a miserable sinner am I. Oh, I wish I never had made those promises or resolutions. Oh, my hearers, the God's dear children, they are so displeased with themselves. For they too have done the like thing, and they too have found themselves so many times overcome by faults and by sin. And because they find that so predominant in them, they are so displeased with themselves. Why, they hate themselves. I wonder if I got any like that amongst me, that are listening to me, that hate themselves because they are such creatures. Oh, they say sometimes, if somebody knew what was going on in here, they would never look at me. They wouldn't have anything to do with me. Such a miserable creature am I. And now God, he will have something to do with those kind of people that are so displeased with themselves. He's so pleased with that. Can you believe it? You can't. He's pleased because you are such a creature that find yourself to be such a sinner in his sight. Oh, I wish every one of you would displease with yourselves in this way. And now this king, he labored till the sun went down to try to deliver Daniel. How many of you have labored? Labored so hard because you were so displeased with yourself to be delivered, to be saved. And yeah, nothing ever came of it. So this king, he found that it was an impossibility to deliver Daniel. So then these men came and they insisted that he be cast into the den of lions. So the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, this God-fearing man. Oh, I wish you could have seen him. I pictured in my mind what he looked like when he came before the king and came before his enemies. I thought he must have looked something like Stephen. His face must have shone before these people. Oh, he was such a godly man. And now because he worshipped his God, he was faithful to his God, he had prayed to his God, he was going to be cast into the den of lions. Oh, this man Daniel, I couldn't read his heart. I don't know what was going on in his mind. But he was ready and he was willing to be offered up unto the lions for that God in heaven above. Now this den of lions was a place where they cast people into. It was a place of execution. Certain countries had these places. That was the mode of execution in those countries. And this is what they did in this particular place where Darius was. And now this man Daniel, he was taken and he was cast into this den of lions. But before he was cast in to this king, oh, he felt so sorry for Daniel. He couldn't save him. He couldn't deliver him. But he says unto him, thy God, he says, whom thou continually servest, he shall deliver you. How did he know that? This man Darius didn't worship this God. He never prayed to this God. As I was thinking of that, this thought came to me, and I think it's true. God put them words into the mouth of this man Darius so that Daniel would be comforted and be strengthened in faith to believe that his God would deliver him. And Daniel was cast into this den, and these enemies insisted that the king put his signet upon the stone that was rolled before the den to make sure that he likewise, as well as they, had given their consent that the purpose, according to Daniel, would not fail. So he put his signature on the signet, and they rolled his stone before the den, and Daniel was given over unto the lions. Daniel, he's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his faithfulness, and not finding any error in him, not finding any fault in him, Pilate himself had to say, I find no fault in this man. And when his enemies had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ and they buried him, they likewise rolled a big stone in the front of the door of the sepulchre so that no one would be able to steal his body and say that he was raised from the dead. Daniel then was cast into this den of lions, and this king, he had spoken such wonderful words to him. This king, he believed what he said. He probably remembered how that this God of Daniel had delivered those three young men out of the fiery furnace. And he had such faith at this time to believe that this God, if you were faithful to him, he would be faithful to you. He would never leave you and leave you in this distress. But we find that after he had been cast into this den, the king went back to his palace. And he was in an awful, sorrowful frame. He didn't eat anything. He didn't drink anything. He didn't want no music brought before him. And his sleep left him. I don't think that he had much faith in the words that he had said to Daniel. I think he went home and he began to think, oh, that poor man Daniel, the best man that I had, he is being torn to pieces now by the lions. And he was the cause of it. Oh, it came back to this king. And he was in a mournful and a sorrowful spirit. Oh, he didn't have any desire to eat. He didn't want any music brought before him. For what can music comfort a sorrowful heart? And his thoughts so multiplied themselves that he couldn't sleep. Sleep left him. You ever had that? Oh, sometimes in life, my hearers, we likewise have done something like this king. We are so sorry that we did it. And oh, when we get home, then we don't feel like eating. We don't feel like having nothing. And when we get in bed, oh, the thoughts, they multiply so, they don't even allow us to sleep. Restless thinking of what you have done. Oh, I wish that God would make every one of you as my hearers like that. And this man, Darius, he lay there all night like this. Very early in the morning, we find him getting up. He couldn't sleep anyway. So he went to the den. I think he went there to expect to find Daniel torn to pieces. But he didn't have much faith in the words that he had said to Daniel, thy God shall deliver thee, because he begins to cry with a lamentable voice. And he says, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God able to deliver thee? You see, he didn't say, did thy God deliver thee according to the words that I said? But is thy God able to deliver thee? He had his doubts about it. He wondered whether it was true or not. He feared that Daniel was God. And much to his surprise, there came a voice out of the midst of the den. O King, live forever. My God has sent an angel and shut the mouths of the lions. For he has found that I am innocent before him and before thee. And therefore, there is nothing to charge me with that I should be destroyed by the lions. Was this God then had sent an angel down into the den with Daniel? Daniel had a companion in the lion's den. This God who created all the animals that are upon this earth, he controls even the mouths of lions, that they will not bite or devour any person except he permit it. And he shut the mouths of these lions so that they did no hurt to Daniel. Daniel then was miraculously spared by God in heaven above, who only received the honor. And now this king, when he heard this, why, he was so glad. So glad to hear that Daniel was spared and that God had performed a miracle for him, so that he called him immediately out of the den. Daniel then was brought out of the den of lions, and it was seen that there was no hurt on him. And now the king commanded that those that had accused Daniel should be taken and should be cast into the den of lions. They, their wives and their children were cast into this den of lions. And the instant that they came on the bottom of the den, the lions had the mastery over them. A proof that the lions sure were hungry, but God had kept their mouths from eating Daniel. And now they immediately destroyed the enemies of Daniel and their wives and their children. See how cruel the law was? Even Darius did not obey the law of God. For the children are not to pay for the sins of their parents. And the wives were not to be cast either into the den. But so cruel was these laws and these kings that they acted with a spirit of retaliation. The Bible teaches us in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 17 and 18, that if anybody is a false witness, and this false witness is proven to be false against his brother, then whatever this false witness intended to do to his brother should be done to him. And this is what took place here. These persons were immediately consumed by the lions. My time is far gone, my hearers. I cannot go any further with this lesson. Next week, the Lord willing, we will take up the next lesson, and that is about the prophet Jonah. That's all.